Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Yeah, there's a lot here, so we're just going to dive right in. One of the latest things that's gone down here in the trial of Karen Reed over the last handful of days, a man named Judson Welcher marched into that courtroom, and he kind of changed the game. Came in with the science, with the facts, with really undisputable facts about vehicle, where it was, his phone, how the vehicle pretty much struck John O'Keefe without a doubt. Now, intention, that's a whole other thing. But I think he walked away out of there. It's still in there right now, actually. But yep. I think he walked out of the prosecution's direct, laying down some very hard things that I don't know are going to ever exit the jury's mind. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Thoughts on Mr. Welcher?
Yeah, wow. Every week we dive in, Tony, and I give you a swinging pendulum here. And it's not swinging wide each week. It's a little bit of defense this week, a little bit of prosecution this week. Well, with his testimony this week, we are way over on prosecution. I'm finally happy to see some hardcore objective data. There's no subjective people. There's no opinions. This is just like hard facts and science that came into the courtroom finally. And the way he's presenting it is so good. So not just him as a researcher, scientist, and an expert in his field, where he's very methodical about everything, very detail-oriented on, and you can tell he's paying attention to every single question. So yeah. That's what the other part I want to get into is, even as watching defense trying to go at him today, he listens to every specific word defense says, and before he even answers, he gets clarifications. He has the defense understand the question better so he can answer it better. I mean, he is, if defense was doing their job and wanted to do a better job, they should just shut up, because they can't go toe-to-toe with him. It's been a good week for prosecution. There is no doubt. I don't know where they go from here. I really don't.
I don't either, because I don't know how you proceed with your timeline that's now been completely blown up. I guess you just pretend it didn't happen, and you just talk over it and move on and never bring up the things that he brought up again and hope the jury just forgets, because sometimes they do. I want to play a clip. We'll play a clip of him so everyone can kind of get a feel if they haven't seen his testimony. And I highly suggest going back and watching the whole thing or listening to it. We have it on the podcast channels and here on YouTube. Here is, I think this is one of the biggest moments in court of the entire trial thus far.
I can't wait.
Here we go.
Could you share with the jury what this represents?
Sure. So this was a trial that I was involved with in downtown Los Angeles. I've redacted the name at the top, but this was an instance where we had, this is a image from the police report. Well, let me see if I can. So AOI in this diagram stands for area of impact. That's where the pedestrian was when they got hit. AOR is area of rest. And you can see we have information on exactly how far the pedestrian was thrown. Then on the right-hand side, we have photographs showing the impact to the pedestrian. This was determined by experts on both sides of this case to be between a 25 to 35 mile an hour impact. And then what you see is a close up on the bottom slide of where there was DNA transfers, hair and tissue samples on the vehicle from the individual that was hit by the vehicle.
Next slide, please. And what does this represent?
So this is the decedent in the case, the person that was hit. He was killed at the scene. What you see on the left-hand image, on the left-hand image, is he had a massive laceration to his right forearm, but it didn't break his arm. There was no broken bones in his arm. On the right-hand side of this image, you see the autopsy report. What you'll notice is he had red marks on his leg, left buttocks, but he had no leg fractures. And again, this individual was hit at between 25 to 35 miles an hour.
Thrown.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you want that expanded like I have times?
There you go.
Thank you. Sorry to.
Yeah, no, my pleasure, John. Thank you. So to at the top, he had a severe brain injury, which again is the most common injury in pedestrian crashes. He did have fractures of the right 11th and 12th rib and a liver laceration. If you look at the extremities, it says right upper extremity. Again, that's from the shoulder to the end of the hand. Extremity wound with vascular injury. So no fractures. If you look where I was talking about the multiple abrasions, so when they're looking at the lower extremities, they're noting a number of red marks, but there was notably no fractures to the lower extremities.
Thank you. You can take that down, please.
Okay.
Dr. Welch, regarding your analysis of the data and the evidence in this case, do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty whether the absence of lower body breaks, so Mr. O'Keefe, is consistent with the defendant's Lexus impacting in a sideswipe or a clipping Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes, you could definitely have this type of impact and not have anything beyond, say, red marks to the lower extremity.
I thought that was interesting, and there's another one I'll play here in a second, but I thought it was interesting because it was, I mean, look, the data this guy brings is super strong, but it was another case that he was able to bring in and show the jury, so it wasn't just, look, this is what typically happens, and this is not shocking, or this or that. It's like, no, here's another example if you don't believe me, and I think that will really help paint it to the jury of, okay, this isn't just this story, even though they should know that, but sometimes you really got to hold their hand. What's your thoughts on that?
It's not subjective conjecture. It is like, here's hard proof and prior examples of exactly the same type of thing that happens to the body when it's struck with a vehicle. I thought that was extremely compelling. And you're seeing him. He's very compelling. He's not argumentative. He's polite. He's accommodating. He tries to answer questions. He tries to understand questions, whether it's a prosecution, jury, judge. I'm not jury, but prosecution, defense, judge. I mean, he presents well in court. He really, really does. There's no reason. There's no doubt why he does what he does, and he's a professional at it. I haven't seen that good in a while.
No, he's been one of the best witnesses,
yeah.
I think, in any case. I think of the year, at the very least.
You know, and thank goodness, this is what this case needed.
Yeah.
For everyone, you know, because regardless of the outcome, guilty, innocence, regardless of whether it's going to be murder, manslaughter, whatnot, what we have here is we have someone with some hard science, some engineering background, and reps in this, because what he's showing in these prior cases he's shown, he has reps. He's got life reps in doing this kind of analysis, doing the kind of science behind it, the mathematical equations that go into it. So it's all the drunken, subjective opinions of everyone involved that night flushed out. It doesn't even matter at this point to me. This is the hard science. He was hit.
Yeah.
And he died from, and the other testimony as well, died from blunt impact, you know, to the back of the head, mm-hmm. from a fall. There you go. And the lacerations and bruises on the body match exactly where they were on the vehicle. I mean, it was a very compelling, extremely compelling.
It was. I mean, it's, you just said, the rest of it doesn't matter to me anymore. That's exactly how I felt when we saw this, a lot of it yesterday, and then even more today.
Yeah.
That even
it was
just
put the, today is good.
Yeah, it was like the icing on the cake today, because this is what happened, and we were all wondering, will we ever know what truly happened to John O'Keefe?
Yes.
We do now. We know exactly what happened to John O'Keefe. Do we know why it happened to John O'Keefe? Do we know what the motivation was for it? Or was there any motivation? Or was this just a horrible accident? That's up in the air.
Right. And that's based on interpretation. People, yeah. that's what the attorneys are going to do. And that's what the jury is going to decide. But I think outside of having a video of it actually happening, this is the next best thing. Matter of fact, it might be even better because a video angle ain't going to capture all that potentially. I mean, this was really... Thank goodness, you know, thank goodness we actually know, again, you know, is there a degree of uncertainty that he could be wrong? Sure, in anything you can be, but it's really low probability at this point.
Extremely low probability at this point.
I always leave everything open, though, because, you know, data is data.
I guess there's a possibility that Chloe the dog ran out, ripped John O'Keefe out of the car, then came around. Karen was scared and ran out. The dog reversed the car and then hit John O'Keefe, and Karen got back in but doesn't remember any of it because she was blackout drunk.
Yeah. And the thing I also liked that he said too was when he brought up the fact of a lack of a taillight fragments on John. So in other words, he's pointing out what wasn't there also.
Yeah.
And when you offer a level of transparency and not try and dismiss things or word bridging over things to avoid, you know, something that might be incongruent, no, he's fully engaging every aspect of the data he was giving. And that's what you want from an expert. Mm-hmm. Fully engaging every aspect of all the data he's given, regardless of prosecution or defense, that makes a great witness. And that's what he did. And that's why he was answering and dealing with both the attorney on the prosecution side as well as on the defense side, as I was watching today, exactly the same.
Yeah.
He did not have a demeanor shift. He didn't get defensive. He just dealt with the data, the question, and answered it. It was really well done.
He's done this before a time or two.
Yes, a few times.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's the, I mean, and because he gets it. He also gets, one's going to go at me this way, one's going to, but he does this for a living. So he understands how these cases work. And he's just there to deliver the data. That's all he is there for. He's even said, I don't have a dog in the fight. Pardon
that's
the
what
pun.
You want. But, that's exactly what you want.
This is another piece. This piece actually here, I think, is the most powerful of the day. I actually went to the wrong one first, but this is, I think, the first time today he clearly stated what his thoughts are. There's another one after this we'll talk about where he talks about the sideswipe. But this, I think, was pretty powerful today in the trial. If I can go to the right slide. There we go.
In addition to the text stream data you consider, considering both those areas of information, do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty in whether the damage to the defendant's Lexus is consistent with a collision with Mr. John O'Keefe on January 29, 2022 at around 12:32 a.m.?
So there's been two potential theories that I've seen on that issue. One is a glass was thrown at the rear of the vehicle and shattered it. The second one was an impact to the arm. If the impact is basically more than approximately 8 miles an hour, it will likely break the taillight lens.
Do you have an opinion whether, based on the data and based on the physical damage and your testing, whether that is consistent with a collision or a impact with Mr. John O'Keefe?
It is consistent with the collision as long as it's greater than approximately 8 miles an hour.
You have an opinion whether it's consistent with an impact or collision with Mr. John O'Keefe on January 29, 2022 at around 12:32 a.m.?
With that caveat, yes.
In your testing, did you consider, or do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty, whether John O'Keefe's injuries on his arm, inevitably in the back of his head, are consistent with being struck by a Lexus identical to the defendant's Lexus on January 29, 2022?
Yes.
What's your opinion?
That it is. It is consistent with being struck by a Lexus and ultimately contacting a hard surface such as frozen ground.
And does that specifically pertain to January 29, 2022, around 12:30 a.m.?
Going normal.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't get more just kind of here's the facts than that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, you know, was it biomechanical engineering?
I believe so.
And, yeah, I mean, he's even, the defense is even trying to go at him with his title today. Because it's kind of cross-disciplinary type things.
Yeah.
Because he's also a civil engineer as well. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of likening the body to a bridge and a structure.
Yeah.
Just as a parable, really, for an analogy for people to understand. But mm-hmm. Yeah, so his whole life is engineering and data and forces and forces on forces and materials. I mean, it was really well done. My son's a mechanical engineer, so I get this world from his point of view as well. It's just follow the data.
Yeah, yeah. And the data doesn't lie. Taillight breaking at least, I thought it was interesting how we even caveated that as long as it was at least 8 miles an hour. Well,
yep.
Clearly it was more than 8 miles an hour. And I think that that was a shock to a lot of people because that's been the argument. And even at 24 miles an hour, people are like, well, if you hit an arm, that's not going to break it. Well, yeah, it actually will. And that's
what he's been doing, Tony. He's been like all our conjecture of, that could never be like that or never be like that because, you know, because we can't imagine it working like that. Well,
we have no reason to base
it. Actually, talk to an engineer who's tested it and actually works on the numbers. No, actually, that's exactly right. Yeah. And I love that he actually gives us specific numbers of what it would take, and then it's up to you to say what the number was.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you what the data says. That's a great approach.
I Karen Reed had a reaction to all of this when she was leaving court. Yesterday, this is day two that we're on that we are seeing here as the second day of his testimony. The day one, he went into all this science and all the data and showed the reconstructions, and it's very fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
And Karen left court that day, and she wasn't in the best of. Well, she seemed actually kind of happy. I don't really know why, but she was saying some interesting things, and I want to play back what that was. As she was leaving court, and I'm actually going to end up breaking this down into like three pieces. It's only 60 seconds total, but there's a lot that happens in these 60 seconds.
So I haven't seen it, so it'll be good.
Dr. Welch's recreations were good with the test dummy and the glancing blow.
And the grease paint on his arm? No.
Karen, did you?
And he backed up into himself at 2.2 or something miles per hour. So he tried to dress identically to John, but didn't do anything else to mimic what the Commonwealth is accusing me of.
So did you go in reverse 24 miles an hour, 53 feet?
the data is what the data is, and it's going to come out cleanly, more cleanly in our case in chief.
Okay, I want to just pause it there. Number one, Alessi looks like a Muppet. I feel like one of those marionettes. The way he's kind of moving around in his face is, because I can't imagine what's going through his mind as he's hearing her say these things aloud to reporters. But the data is what the data is. And what is the Commonwealth trying to do to me? Are they trying to do this? Like, what did you take out of that little clip, Robin? Or do you need to watch it one more time?
We can if you want. I mean, I think she's struggling. I think they're all struggling. I mean, that was a big blow that day.
Yeah.
I think they're struggling. I mean, I had a hard time of understanding what she's saying. And so when people generally go into word salad mode, mm-hmm. it's because they can't clearly process what they just absorbed.
And there's a lot of word salad that goes on here. And that's a good point. And she contradicts herself in here quite a bit. I'm just going to play it back because it is so short. And I'll reiterate anything maybe you didn't hear in it.
Dr. Welch's recreations were good with the pastami and the glancing blow.
And the grease paint on his arm.
So they're asking, what was you think about the testimony from Welcher with the test dummy and the glancing blow? And then she immediately goes to trying to make fun of the grease paint, the blue paint that they had used for the experiment. And then she further dismisses his statistics, his numbers. She's just throwing random numbers out there like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
No.
Karen, did you?
And he backed up into himself at 2.2 or something miles per hour.
And he backed up into himself at 2.2 miles per hour, then she says.
So he tried to dress identically to John, but didn't do anything else to mimic what the Commonwealth is accusing me of.
So did you go in reverse 24 miles an hour, 53 feet?
The data is what the data is, and it's going to come out cleanly, more cleanly in our case in chief.
That's that so far. Anything about that part, rewatching?
I think she's just really kind of trying to grab any little nugget she can in there to try to refute it. But the problem is that she doesn't come across as nearly coherent and specific as he just testified. Mm-hmm. And so you have someone who's very clear and concise on what he's saying, and then you have her, which is kind of really incongruent. I think the best thing she could have said was, wow, it was a really compelling day.
Yeah.
And just kind of roll with it. And just simply say, wow, you know, he made a lot of fair points. But what you're going to see from our defense is that he's wrong.
Yeah. This was literally, I think everything was firing at once. And she's trying to say every bullet point that she's thinking of.
Is she not listening to her lawyer's not advising her when she's walking out? I mean, seriously, what you say is so when someone is that compelling on the stand, you're not going to refute them. You just aren't. I mean, he was just that good. And so if you want to have the same kind of credibility he has that everyone just saw, you can't say he's not credible because it just you just don't come across good. And so you just say, wow, that was really that was really good testimony today. But what you're going to see when we show and demonstrate this, that he's wrong. He's inaccurate. He didn't have all the data or something like that.
Something.
Say, it was good, but here's what we got. Stand by. You know, and that would kind of alleviate all that.
Yeah, yeah. Alan Jackson is over on the side here, and he's not really in frame, but he's just kind of standing there. You can tell kind of getting antsy. This is Alessi in the background. I mean, just look at the expression on his face, and he sticks like this for a little bit. I know it's paused, but he's standing behind her with that. What do you make of this? It looks like he's almost ready to speak if he needs to, but nothing comes out of his mouth. I think he was almost looking for a way to weave in there. What would you say about that type of behavior?
I don't know whether he's trying to. It's just odd. You know, the other thing that strikes me, this whole dynamic too, I mean, we've seen other cases where when someone's coming out of the courtroom and you have the defendant is normally behind the lawyer, and the lawyer speaks for the defendant. In a lot of these cases, because the lawyer is more objective, the lawyer is more clear thinking, the lawyer is not emotionally attached to the outcome as much as, even though they are, as the defendant. And so why is she speaking? It's just not helping. You know, and you would think after all these reps that they have that they would stop letting her do it. But again, if they think she's going to be able to sway public opinion, and if public opinion is going to be impacting the jury, then they're going to it's part of the strategy of reasonable doubt. So, I mean, but that's probably it.
There's still a lot of people hanging with Karen Reed.
Oh, yeah, of course they are. And they always will, because we get emotionally attached to the outcome that we're seeking. And so I guarantee you this, you know, the viewers that can't stand the fact that, you know, anytime the pendulum swings to the prosecution side, they're going bananas right now, saying, and they're refuting every nook and cranny in here. They're going to dig up crap on him. They're going to make up crap on the prosecution. I mean, they're going to do all they can to discredit everything, and including inventing things or seeing things that aren't there, just so they can say that they're right, no matter what. So people that do that are not objective. Because no. I mean, I have been, Tony, you know me, it's funny.
Yeah.
I have been swinging, you know, just slightly little bit each way each week. But we've had consistency, you know, on the prosecution side, kind of swinging this way from what I'm watching. Because up to this point, it's been very behavioral based, you know, because nothing's been really super conclusive on actual tangible data and evidence until this.
Now I
don't know how they're going
to
come back,
because it feels like nothing's going to crack this over here. This is the data. This is the facts. Right. It's irrefutable. It is what it is.
It's not opinions anymore.
It's not. So anything that's going to happen over here is just noise. I mean, it really doesn't matter anymore. It matters where, if there was some bad police work going on here, sure, I'm glad that the guy they fired Proctor.
Guaranteed.
But none of it affects this, though.
Right. And I think that's an important point to make, is that, you know, every time you and I talk about this case, we're talking about an element that we're just analyzing here, and how this one element does impact the whole when we're going to a conclusion and the jury gets the case. But that doesn't mean that, policing, absolutely. That department's got major issues dealing with this. It did a lot of wrongness there, wholehearted wrongness there that I thought was wrong. And the level of just badness of people involved, you know, the toxicity of people, the unhealthy relationships, you know, everyone's drunk. I mean, all that crap. Absolutely. But this is not opinion stuff. This is a very objective data point.
No matter what happens over here, it doesn't change the fact that she hit him with the Lexus. And nothing influences this.
It looked pretty conclusive to me.
It is this. I don't care if they're all a family that is wearing Karen Reed masks, sacrificing cats in the moonlight. It doesn't matter, because the data still shows that she hit John O'Keefe based on.
Okay, so we got to modify that.
Yeah.
I'm going to modify that.
Okay.
The data shows that, according to the great testimony, so the data shows a Lexus like the one Karen owns at that time of night hit John O'Keefe.
That exact make and model. Yes.
And he died from a blunt impact on the back of his head.
Yes.
From lacerations, from being knocked down, the lacerations matched the positions of a Lexus that matched Karen Reed. So now, what could defense do? Karen wasn't driving the car. It was a different Lexus.
I'm wondering.
Right.
That's what I halfway joke about, like Chloe jumped in and mauled John. Then she drove away in fear.
Albert came out and took over the Lexus and backed into her.
Yeah,
I mean, that too.
Yeah.
See what I mean? So that's why I liked his testimony. His testimony, what we can conclusively say within a huge reasonable doubt is that a Lexus matching Karen Reed's Lexus backed into John O'Keefe that night at that time and was the cause of his death.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
The reasonable doubt is it reasonable to think a different Lexus came and did it? And I think the answer to that is no. And that's where it's beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's why it'll be really interesting to see what defense does with that. And that's why I think you saw them all as a group kind of, you know, doing the babbity-babbity-ba, because they had no idea what to say. I mean, there was literally, I think they're all in brain. I won't call it even word salad, because you're asking me what the looks he was given was. Yeah. I think they were beyond word salad. I think they were in brain salad mode.
Yeah, I think they were ready to go find a drink, considering that seems to be their hobby. There's a little bit more to this, and I want to play it, because it's only 60 seconds, but there's a lot that happens here. So let me just back it up a smidge.
The data is what the data is, and it's going to come out cleanly, more cleanly, in our case in chief. I think it's important to demonstrate, what is the Commonwealth accusing me of? the speed, the positioning, recreate that for us. Back up into the crash test dummy at 24.2 miles an hour in the arm and see what happens. That's what I would want to see if I were you.
Do you recall?
Karen, they kind of just...
You showed that in the other case.
Yeah, they kind of just did that.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. I'm really interested, too, about John O'Keefe's parents and what they thought about that testimony at this point, too.
Yeah.
But, because again, I keep going back, always going back to the victims.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully that, because, I mean, if I was the parent of someone who lost, you know, and I lost my child, I'd want to know what happened.
Yeah.
I think today was a good day for them.
And then you see this skipping out of court. Like it's a grand old day.
You know, it's, are they even paying attention to her at this point?
I don't know. I can't imagine being the parent and just seeing, like, what are you doing? I mean, like, why are you doing this? I mean, I don't expect her to walk on and go, oh, they got me, but have a little humility. I mean, it's not a great day to be doing this, Karen. Here's some follow-up questions that they asked, and I think they're very interesting in terms of the way they answered.
The crash test dummy at 24.2 miles an hour in the arm and see what happens. That's what I would want to see if I were you.
Do you recall that at all, Karen,
because it didn't happen.
She's asked there. I don't know if you could hear it.
Do you recall that?
Do you recall that at all? No, because it didn't happen. So she just admitted she doesn't remember.
Even though she just told him to back up the vehicle into a crash test dummy at the same speed she's being accused of to see what would happen. But I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. And it didn't happen. Not just I didn't do it. It didn't happen.
So what did happen?
Where is the data coming from, Karen?
Even though he just showed you what happened, you know, and your car said it, his cell phone said it.
And it's acknowledged it.
The body said it. I mean, literally, so you say you didn't do it, but his body injuries match that happening at that time from that's what people do when they struggle.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Here's one more thing on this. Take a listen and I'll repeat it too.
Any update on if you're calling Proctor, given that his friends are now witnesses on your list?
No comments. Karen, who are these four new witnesses? Can you say anything about them?
What no comments.
Testify to? Are you going to take the stand?
No comments.
No comments.
Sorry.
She really got a kick out of that one. No comments. Are you going to take the stand? I found that a little interesting. The laughing, joking of that moment. What do you make of that? Like, I don't know if she's like actually, like maybe they're contemplating that and that's why they think it's so silly.
I mean, when you watch her, again, this, all the nonverbal experts are going to go down all these little micro-expression roads with her, and that's fine. I just see her brain going into oh shit mode.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all it's doing. It's. I think what happens is when you get to the no comment mode, when they hit no comment, they're on cognitive overload.
Yeah.
In other words, they have no words. They don't know what to say. They're not processing the questions fast enough. And it hits that point. And that's why her lawyer had to step in and say no comment to get her to shut up.
Finally.
Because, you know, she's got her life arc and life reps are talk, 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 talk. Keep talking. Just keep talking. It'll make it better if I just keep talking. And that's the mode and the default she goes into. So finally, her lawyer said no comment. And since she grabbed onto it, you know, good for her. But she had that deer in a headlight look when she did it, because she's like, and that's the fight or flight kicking in. That's literally when she went kind of like this. And so when her affect kind of hit a freeze frame,
yeah,
even though she's still moving. In other words, you saw a tempo shift in her.
Yeah.
You saw a cognitive tempo shift in the brain happening. And that's when she hit that overload spot. She's out of words. She's out of thoughts. And there's nothing more there. I think literally her brain just stopped at that point.
Yeah, I get, you know, that. Yeah, that's probably where she's got to be. I mean, the way that she is able to be so composed in the way that she has presented herself in this case through all of those interviews in court.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
You know, but when I was watching the courtroom today, and even right there, the sense you get, again, you, when people say, I got a sense of the courtroom energy or things like that, it's true. You do get a sense of these things, because what's happening is when someone delivers such really, really good data, good testimony, or good information, and you can feel the tangible, everyone's holding their breath because they're so fixated on what's being said. Because when you move away from opinions and the lower brain of the emotional brain, that's where all the chaos is always in. The emotional brain gets yanked around all the time by, oh, do I think this? Do I feel this? Do I feel this? But when someone is actually just goes to your thoughtful, deep thinking brain, that's what you felt that energy was. It was actually paying attention. Because our emotions were no longer part of this. The entire courtroom, and even outside the courtroom, they are actually paying attention to the words being said, because those words were not emotional. Those words had actual data and meaning behind them. They're objective, they're thoughtful. And so there's no way to yank that emotional brain around anymore during that testimony. That's why the entire energy shifted to that deep pause. They're paying attention. Something. Because that shifted, his testimony to me shifted the entire thing from the emotional brain to the cognitive thoughtful brain.
Yeah, and it was something to see.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at Chumbacasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.